But you did very well without preparing. You said you didn't prepare.
I prepared my whole life for this. I'm not joking. Now let's talk about this. I prepared for. Not enough. Never walked into a shiur well prepared, unfortunately. Chaval. Now let's talk about interesting topic. There is a topic called Shloishim Yoim Shoyalim Vidarshim Bin Yonai Shel Yoim Shloishim Yoim Koidim Achag. Everyone knows Halacha Vayidaber Moshe Smodei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. Okay, Chazal were masakin that a person, that people should begin learning the halachos. You got it. This year, inflation already 20%. So you can imagine to raise the price even more. It's really, really out of control. Everything is out of control. How long can we sustain this? We need Siyata D'Shemaya. Okay, we have over here Shloishim Yoim Koidim Achag Shoyalim V'darshim Binyonai Shel Chag. That is a halacha. Chazal make darsh that halacha. Now, where does it come from? Okay, now, it comes from Pesach Sheni. The makar for that halacha, the source is the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, and it says, how do you know that within 30 days of the festival, it's appropriate for a person to begin to prepare and learn the laws of the festival? It comes from the laws of Pesach Sheni. If a person is Tamei or Bederech Rechaika, and he is unable to bring the Korban Pesach, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, there's a solution for you. The solution is you bring the Pesach Sheni, the people of Ahiyu Anoshim Ashahayu, Tameim Lenever, Lama Yigora. Lama Yigora, why should we lose out on not being able to bring the Korban Pesach? We were busy with transporting the Oroin of Yosef, or they were busy. What was the other reason given? I forgot already. Whatever it is, they were tamei with derech rechoika. We're not able to bring the Korban Pesach. So Moshe said, "I hear. Let me take this on. Let me maybe on consult with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Imdu v'yeshma. Let me find out what the answer is." Moshe spoke to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, "That's right. The people have come forward. They want to know what to do. They don't want to be denied. I'll tell you what. Lama Yigora." They can bring a Pesach Sheni. On the 14th day of Iyar, they will bring a Korban Pesach, al matzos umirorim yochluhu v'chulu v'chulu. When did Moshe Rabbeinu instruct Klal Yisrael that there's something called Pesach Sheni? Erev Pesach. On day 14. It was on day 14 of Chodesh Nisan when Vayihiyu Anoshim Asher Hoyu Tnimu Nefesh Adam Vayikrivu El Moshe, they came to Moshe Lom V'lo Yoch Lasa Pesach, and they come Erev Pesach. Moshe, it's Erev Pesach, and the Kohanim have denied us access to bring the Karban. Lama Yigara. Moshe was very busy. Rabbis are very busy Erev Pesach. Are you very busy Erev Pesach? Ramayevsky?
Yeah.
Very busy. Erev Pesach is one of the busiest days for a rabbi. One of the busiest days for rabbis, and on Erev Pesach, as if Moshe had nothing else to do, people come and say, Lama Yigara. So Moshe says, okay, let me go to the Ribbono Shel Olam, let me ask him what the solution is. And Hashem says, that's right. These people, they are entitled. They can bring Pesach Sheni in 30 days from now. Moshe immediately, without delay, gets up in front of the whole Klal Yisrael on Erev Pesach and says, anyone that's Tamei or Derech Rechoika, you can bring a Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. You have to tell this to us now? Tell it to us after Pesach. Shloishim now, what? But Moshe has, we'll figure it out. Right, okay, but they had to get the answer right then and there. So that's where it comes from. Moshe told them 30 days in advance. Let me read you the Gemara. It says, the Gemara says, Shoylim v'darshim hilchos ha-pesach m'sechta psochim on the vav omer aleph, on the very bottom. It says in the Gemara, Tanya, Shoylim v'darshim b'hilchos ha-pesach koydim ha-pesach shloishim yoyim. Shaharei, This is the words of the Gemara. I'm quoting the Gemara. Sharei Moshe Omei bePesach Rishon Mazir El Pesach Sheni Shenemar VaYasu Bnei Yisrael Esa Pesach BeMoado Uchsiv. It says VaHi Anoshim Asher Hoyu B'Tameim LeNefesh Adam. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu went and he taught them the halacha of Pesach Sheni on Pesach Rishon 30 days in advance. This is the makor for this halacha. If not for this halacha, this maisa, it would appear there would be no makar to go and begin to learn the halachas 30 days in advance. Now, before we go further, there's a very big dilemma amongst the Rishonim. Does this halacha of Shoylem V'Darshim, Yonah Shalyam, Shloshim Yom Koydim Achag, does that apply to all of the festivals, or does it only apply to Pesach? Now, if you look at the source, the source is only relevant to Pesach Sheni. But obviously it has to apply somewhere else. So because it's discussing Pesach, it automatically less mandapolig that this halach applies to the Yom Tif of Pesach. Does it also apply to Sukkos? Does it also apply to Shavuos? Does it apply to Rosh Hashanah? Does it apply to Yom Kippur? So I cannot tell you at this moment, chapter and verse, all of the different opinions, and it's very complex. We'll go analyze every one of the Rishonim, what they say. But if you want to make a composite of everyone together, it turns out that you can make a strong argument that this only applies to Pesach. Before Sukkos, you don't have to. Before Shavuos, you don't have to. And certainly before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you don't have to. Why? Why would there be a difference? So the reasons are very different. This is fascinating what it says. I'm reading over here from this wonderful Sefer. He has probably already 10 volumes. Rabbi Mutzpi, this is a Sfaradish Sefer. A real Sfaradish Sefer. Ben Tzion Mutzpi. Mutzafi. There's a whole family. The Mutzafi family. Kabbalah people. I don't know which one. The grandfather. I think this one passed away, it seems. And this is the grandson who's running his grandfather. There's a son. And I need a map to keep track of the entire family. Who is who? I'm not familiar with this, but it's like you see over here the influence of the Litvaks on the Svardim. Ooh, they would kill me for saying that. But you see over here, this is a Svardish Sefer, but it's Mole Vagodosh with you know their counterparts, the literature world is heavily influenced, is present in this Sefer. There are probably at least 10 volumes, and there's some beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things here. So let me just tell you something that you saw this. Number one, Sukkos. Now this blew my mind. This totally blew my mind. And it opens up a whole world of commentary, the difference between Sukkos and Pesach. Some will say to you, what's the chilek between Pesach and Sukkos? I know you'll tell me one is Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the other one is the moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Sukkos are the Anani Kovod, our journey for 40 years in the desert. Okay, that's obvious. There are different mitzvahs. I don't want to hear about mitzvahs. I want to hear concepts. Tell me the difference between our performance of the services on Pesach versus Sukkos. He says here, Adavar Nifla, never would imagine to say such a thing.
Pesach is
Leila
Seder only.
Okay, right, okay, right.
And this is
there are 100 differences. There are hundred differences. But he says something that I would never ever say before. I would never even think of this in a million years, what he says here. The difference is, Pesach is a time to be machmir. Sukkos is a time to be makel. This is what he says. He says, you look at the laws of Pesach and the laws of Sukkos. Pesach chometz is osur b'mashu. B'mashu. That concept, that chometz is osur b'mashu, a teeny microscopic dot of chometz is osur, carries through every halacha in Hilchos Pesach. Why do people go through crazy lengths? They go to extremes. The sheer matzah. Oh, a kazayas. Kezayis Amatz. So first of all, for everyone here in this room, one Kezayis turns into five Kezayisim. That's the halacha. Everyone here eats five Kezayisim Amatzah. You eat a Kezayis for the mitzvah of Moitzi Matzah. Eat a Kezayis for the of Achila. That's Achilas of
That's two there.
They make two brachas. Amotzi lechem in haaretz and achilas masa. That's two kezesim. And then you eat for the afikoyimin another two kezesim, because one is kineged the afikoyimin, the carbon pesach, the carbon pesach, and one is kineged the chagiga that you ate with the carbon pesach. And then the koyrech is another. So la halacha, everyone in this room is basically everyone is gesund. You're eating five kezesim. That's the basic halacha. And then, what is the shear of a kezayis? Oh, the shear of a kezayis. Oh, so some people, they really go to town and they eat, who knows, they eat crazy amounts. Who told you to be so machmir? Who told you to be so machmir? Everyone is machmir in the mitzvahs. And you go through the whole Yom Tov. It's part of the culture. It is part of Shulchan Aruch. It is part of Mishnah Berurah. It is part of when the children are taught in yeshiva to look to be machmir on Pesach. Why? It all starts with chametz is osur. You don't have this halacha anywhere else. B'chol HaTorah Kulo. That something is biblically osur afilu b'mashu. There's no penalty unless you have a shear, but the halacha osur b'mashu. A nusach mashehu. And that once chometz is osur, and matzo is hukash, achilas matzo is hukash, the chometz, everything now takes on the chumrah of chumras. Sukkos, you look in Shulchan Aruch, everything about Hilchos Sukkah, whether it's esroik, the esroik, you hold it at arm's length, you see any black dots? I don't see anything kosher. Try to find me a non-kosher esrog. Go to Troy. It's not so easy to find a non-kosher esrog. Try to find a non-kosher lulav. Sukkah, okay, you go to the sukkahs, you have a whole set of mesechta mishnayis, you can make the most lumdish sukkah. Everyone goes to, everyone is always sad they go to Rav David Cohen because there aren't too many places where you can make a simcha on sukkahs. And he has there this very bizarre, actually it's not a nice word, lumdish sukkah with basically two walls. And where's the third wall? Because it's an alleyway. It's a very nice area, the backyard. There are two walls. Where's the third wall? A sukkah only needs, by the way, two walls and a small amount, and a tefach. The whole din of sukkah is, you would live in such a house? You would live in a house? Teishvu ke'en tiduru. How big is the sukkah? Two walls and a little bit. And the schach, you would live under that kind of schach. The whole mahus of a sukkah is a diras arai. And when you go through, he gives examples, you go through the halachas, in Shulchan Aruch, you walk out of Shulchan Aruch from Hilchas Sukkos, you get, Sukkos is a Yom Tov, you go easy. Look for kulas. No one's looking on Sukkos, and all of the Inyani Sukkos, we're looking to be lenient. Mitzta'er, potem in asukkah. Okay, this requires more development to understand this. It's incredible. There's a difference between Pesach and Sukkos. We're not to the Shavuos yet. Pesach, the theme of Pesach is look, try, attempt to go meshuggah, to be machmir. Sukkos, when you really understand the flavor of Shulchan Aruch, you will discover the theme of the built into the Yom Tov of Sukkos is don't be machmir. The Torah does not want you to be machmir. The Shulchan Aruch is not looking, is advising you, look to enjoy leniencies. Memeil l'may nafkamina, the halachas, when it comes, when he writes this explicitly, when it comes to the laws of Pesach, since the whole theme is to be machmir, you got to learn a lot, to learn all the chumras. Because if you don't know the halachas, you won't know how to be machmir.
That's easy.
No, see, that's a misunderstanding. People think that it's easy to be machmir. No. When you know too much, the biggest gedolim, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, could not pass in a shayla. He cannot pass on the simplest question because he knows too much. When you know too much, you know how complicated everything really is. The good doctors, the really good doctors, they have an appreciation of the complexity of everything that they're doing, and they're more often, the better doctor, the more hands off. Because they realize you touch one thing, you're in a lot of trouble. Someone who has no experience, oh, there's a problem here, we'll do surgery and cut this out and do this, do that. Yeah, you don't know what you're doing. You touch one thing, you mess up everything. The people who, you have to learn to be machmir. Even though we say, you know, it's easy to be machmir, it's not really true. It's hard to be machmir. You need to be more knowledgeable to know what the issues are, and then, oh boy, there are so many issues here, memela. The theme of Pesach is to be machmir. The theme of Sukkos is to be makel. So you know what? You don't have to learn so much. You don't have to spend 30 days learning the halachos. Because anyway, at the end of the day, we're going to be makel. At the end of the day, if the schach is not so kosher, it's good enough. If it's raining, it's drizzling outside, go into the house. Your esrog, come on. Go in. You go try to find me a non-kosher esrog. Yeah, today people, they like, have nothing better to do, so they go and they look at it with the microscope. They're looking for problems. Almost every esrog is kosher. You hold the esrog at arm's length. Do you see anything? No, it looks good to me. It's kosher. Try to find the posek that will tell you an esrog is possible. They're going to say, a lot of places when I find, they say to you, you bring them the esrog. They bring you the esrog. And then they say to you, how much do you pay for this? And you tell them, and they say, yeah, you can do better. I'm not coming to ask you, could I do better? I'm asking, is it kosher? Yeah, it's kosher. How much do you pay for it? You pay for this $80? Wasn't worth it. Is it kosher? It's kosher. That's almost everywhere. I find it very funny. They all ask, they look at the esrog and they say, how much do you pay for it? They're just telling you, yeah, there's this problem. There's no such thing as a perfect esrog. And I see all the problems. I'm just very curious how much they rip you off. To say that it's mamish puzzle, if they tell me you paid $100, you know, go back, get a better one than this. They tell you you pay for this $30, pretty good. Have a nice day. That's all the biggest rabban who know what they're doing. That's the whole conversation. You bring them the esrog, look at the esrog. They'll never tell you that it's possible. They'll tell you, did you get a good deal on it. That's the most they'll tell you. Memela, you don't need to learn so much. You don't need to spend 30 days learning. David Pella, what about Shavuos? So they'll say, Shavuos, for surely you don't need to spend 30 days because there aren't any halal. There's nothing unique to Shavuos. What are you doing, Shavuos? Chol Yisrael. What do you do? There's no lulav. There's no esrog. There's no matzah. There's no shofar. What are you doing? There's nothing to eat. It's like Shabbos. Basically, all the laws of Shabbos apply to Yom Tov. There aren't unique mitzvahs that require an intense study. What about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So this is the biggest fellow, what he says here, is that Rosh Hashanah is about davening. What's the mitzvah hayom on Rosh Hashanah? Shofar? He said, well, only one person blows the shofar. You go to shul, if you're not the Baal Tokei, it's not really, you're just there to listen. You trust the rabbi, you're not blowing the shofar. It's about tefillah, davening. The whole year you daven. Yom Kippur is about teshuva. The whole year you do teshuva. It's just Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You. There's more intensity in what you're doing, but it's relevant the whole year. Matzah, bir chametz, hagolas kelim, and chametz. This is only once a year. So it turns out the only time you really need to spend 30 days in preparation is only for Pesach, not for the other moadim. Sukkis. The essence of Sukkot and Shulchan Aruch is you can be lenient. Shavuos, it's only one, there are no unique mitzvahs. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the themes of what the mitzvahs hayom of Teshuvah are themes that you should be familiar with the entire year. So the only time that this is relevant, this concept of Shoyalim V'darshim B'nyonah Shel Yoyim, is only Pesach. That's one opinion. Okay, when you go through the sugyas, you'll learn many of that. Many hold.
Interesting. Pesach Sheni does not have all those halachot.
Well, it does, because there's matzah.
Chametz in the house. And
you're allowed to have chametz in the bayis, but you're not allowed to have chametz with the matzah. Al matzos umirom yochlu, but the matzah, you're not allowed, it has to be a kosher lePesach meal. You're not allowed to eat, when you eat the Pesach sheni with the matzah and the maror, the matzah, you can have chametz with bayis. Okay, here, our column is making a very good point. I just want to learn another point. There's another. Now there are two.
The only yontif that the Torah says it's chagam asol speech for. The others you just say Sukkos is taselacha. Shavuos is yom habikurim. It doesn't tell you anything particular other than eating in the sukkah. Chagam asol tishmor.
The pasuk. Okay, there's a lot. Okay, we're out of time. There are a lot of different things to discuss. I just want to mention one very last thing. There is a very powerful concept that Shloishim Yom Kodem HaChag, it begins on Purim. It's not just, 30 days before. Oh, look at the calendar, 30 days before. The way it works out, and in fact it's by design, like this year when there's a double Adar, why couldn't we celebrate Purim a month ago? And then we have a month, or why? So Chazal tells us because we have to be Soimech Geula LeGeula. When Chazal was Samech Geula LeGeula, built into being Samech Geula LeGeula, it turns out that Pesach begins on Purim. 30 days before Pesach is Purim. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah says, on Purim, you have to already begin, on Purim itself, you have to do something to begin to learn the laws of Pesach. That's by design. In other words, okay, there's a lot of things here. There are different elements that we should discuss at some point. There are two different words that Chazal use: shoyalin v'dorshin, she'ela and drisha. She'ela is used to be understood halacha, law, the law. What is the law? And then there is doresh, which means agoda. Agoda is the concept. In order. Now this, what I'm saying over here, very quickly, because is ordinarily, what do people normally say? When you witness Nisim, what's between Purim and Pesach? When you witness, Purim is hidden miracles, Pesach are open miracles. The average person will tell you, when you witness an open miracle, the Yam splits, 10 makos, it awakens you to see the hidden miracles. Isn't that a very common thing they tell children? That hidden miracles you don't really appreciate. But when all of a sudden you see an open, blatant miracle, Chanukah, lit the Neros, last 8 days, wow, open miracle, you know what? It must be that there are hidden miracles. That's a very common approach to understand the contrast between the blatant miracles and the hidden miracles. The trigger to appreciate the hidden miracles are the open miracles. Just the opposite. And the proof is Shloishim Yoim Koidim Achag Shoyalim V'Darshim B'Yom Shachag. If you witness an open miracle, how long is the shelf life of that inspiration? A day. You walk home and you see an open, blatant miracle. Wow, impressive. The next day, what happens? You forget about it. Because that's not life, that's not the world of reality. You know, it doesn't have an effect on you. How come the Goyim, they saw open miracles, nothing, they don't care. The proof is in the pudding. The world, the Goyim, they saw that. Chazal are telling you, Shloishim Yom Koidim Achag, Shalim V'Darshim Yom Shalchag, Iker is Pesach. When does Pesach begin? On Purim. When you witness hidden miracles, it opens up your mind to acknowledge there's a creator, there's a Baal Habira. It conditions you slowly and gradually that when you will then witness an open miracle, that open miracle will last, will stay with you forever. It will transform you. There is a Seder. The Seder is Shloishim Yoim Koidim Achag Shoyalim V'Darshim B'Yonei Shalchag. Pesach is coming. We're coming to an open, blatant miracle. What is the expected shelf life of that miracle? A day. So how is the Yom Tov going to remain with us? How is it going to remain with us? We're going to start with Purim. On Purim, we're going to dwell upon hidden miracles. And when you come to realize Hashem is present, b'hashkacha pratis, then as that seeps into your mind and you then witness an open miracle, the effect is so much greater. It opens up your mind to see, like to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The open miracle can stay with you forever, for a much longer period of time. So it's the other way around than the common person would say. It does. It does. That's why you eat a lot, to get rid of all the.